We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
These are historic days, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Camlo, Randy McMichael, he's in for John Michaels, and we come to you live from the Kia Studios, bringing you our midday party. We got history, man. The Red Sox are back in the World Series. All right, we get history. David Price gets his first playoff win ever last night. History. LeBron James, first game with the Lakers last night. History. You got history all over the place. And then you have Hawks and Grizzlies tonight. You have Falcons and Giants on Monday. We get United in Chicago on Sunday. Randy, there is so much to talk about, dude.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I love digging deep into the dogs with you. We're going to do that throughout the show. Are you ready? Now, John and me have a real good synergy in the 1 o'clock hour for our fantasy football
Rick,
segment.
I know.
Are you prepared to? What I want to do with you is do fantasy versus reality. I'm based in the numbers and the fantasy and complaining about coaching decisions and your boy Buttchin O'Brien killing Deshaun Watson and the Texans and all that stuff.
Right.
I want you to bring the reality to it.
But I've been I've been studying up on my fantasy.
Have
stuff.
You?
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I've been studying because I knew it was going to be some Fridays. I was going to have to come in here. And I know it's a big thing, Fantasy Friday, food, and all. I got it. So I've been doing, and I've been going away from the reality part of football and thinking more of fantasy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love this.
So I got this.
I'm very excited about that. Did you guys hear this? It's a 3-hour tease, but 1 o'clock, Fantasy Football Friday.
Food.
My guy, Randy, I love you, bro. It is great to be in here with you. How you living, my friend? Haven't seen you in a few days.
Oh, I'm good, man. You know me, brother. Living the dream.
How's wifey and the kids,
Everybody's
man?
Great, man. Everybody's great. Wife's birthday is Monday, so me and her are going to take a little mini trip this weekend.
You are? Where?
Yeah, we're going to go down to the Keys for a couple of days and just hang out, put these dogs in the sand.
Dude. I think I speak for greater Atlanta when I say we're all jealous of the plans that you have this weekend. God bless your wife, Donna, man. How old is she? I love asking uncomfortable questions. That's what I do. I do it to Mark Owens all the time. I knew you couldn't answer that, man. What would it, well, over under on 35. Where's she at?
Come on, man.
Look, I am so sleep deprived.
Oh, yeah.
And so splintered into a million pieces with all the football and all the basketball. I'm not complaining. Trust me, it's a blessed life. But your boy is wacky and weird today.
So
I have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
So you're wired right now.
None. Mark Owens, you better stay poised above that dump button. Literally anything's possible today.
You know, but if it's going to happen, at least it happens on a Friday. Because Friday is very loose around here. We got Ask Us Something About Anything coming up at 1:40. We got Fantasy Football Friday.
Actually, that's not right. We're having Slice of Life at 12:40 because we'll be talking to Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce at 1:40.
Read the rundown, Mark.
Yeah, I just pulled a mic bell.
Yeah, read the rundown.
He never goes past the first page.
yeah, read the rundown.
I think it was coming up at 10 o'clock.
No, yeah. but you know,
I got
Mark,
page one ready.
Mark, I got your back because you know what, Mark? He's living in the moment, okay, and seizing the moment. That's what we need here in live radio.
That's not what you need in a producer. Actually, take a look and see what's on the schedule today. Oh, crap, we got a replay. I got to edit that down. Son of a gun. Hey, I know we are still a week away from Georgia-Florida weekend, but me and Wendy have already put our bet parameters on the line.
Okay.
All right, here's the bet. When Georgia beats Florida next weekend in Jacksonville, Wendy must go the entire week without posting one selfie.
No.
To every social media platform that she has, including Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, MySpace, Friendster, whatever she still uses.
Why would you, like, hit her where she lives that badly? Okay. Like, that is...
That's the whole point of the bet. Yeah.
Wow.
You gotta make it hurt.
She actually
said... That's gonna hurt if she loses. Yeah.
She said, I would rather go a full day in Georgia gear than have to go a full week without
posting. Oh, I believe that.
Posting a selfie.
But you wouldn't let her just go a day in Georgia gear.
No.
You insisted on...
I gotta get you where it hurts.
Yeah, well, that's gonna hurt.
That's gonna hurt.
Wendy,
right,
Wendy, we're already feeling for you.
Now, the flip side
what's the flip side?
After last week, it could happen now. If Florida beats Georgia, she's going to count the average of how many selfies she posts a day, which is in the dozens and dozens. I have to do that. I have to post that many selfies that she normally would. And I hate selfies. I hate them. So let's say she posts 8 in a day. Then on Monday, I got to do 8.
Okay.
On Tuesday, I got to do 8. Wednesday.
So you have to match her amount of selfies. Kind of like a matching 401k thing.
That's exactly
right. Like I put in 5%, y'all bosses put in 5%. Yep. By the way, that's dope when they match like that. So
lovely.
Dope.
Lovely.
She's
Thank
got
you
a whole
for the free
money.
To get uncomfortable about that.
That's going to be interesting because Wendy is always has that camera, that phone in her face.
And that includes videos, too. She said, well, what if it's just a video of me saying, hey, guys, it's Friday? That counts. Uh-huh. If you are holding the phone and you're not promoting something, if it's just you talking for no nonsensical reason, that is a selfie, Wendy, and that counts.
She's going to have shakes.
None. But I'm going to tell you, forewarning, next week she's going to put 46 up a day to get it all out of her system.
Get the numbers up.
To get the numbers up.
You know, Florida might win.
Oh, I know. I know.
Possibility.
That's why.
Oh, I thought Randy was going to take my head clean off right there.
Oh, no. There's no reason to do that, Rick.
Okay.
You know, I don't talk trash.
We're just getting started, right? I'm going to give you many reasons to do that throughout the day.
Georgia's just got to get past the bye week. Past this weekend.
I'm not even worried about all that. You know, I don't do all the rivalry and go back and forth with people like that, you know.
Well, I definitely try to get you to do it. To Mark Owen's point right there, you just got to get by the bye week. We know that kids during the bye week can, you know, party a little bit. Stray away from the company line and chopping wood and all that. Are you worried?
No.
Are you worried about an arrest over the weekend?
I am not worried. Not at all.
Because of the class of the individual underneath the helmet right now, or because of the hold that the institutional control that Kirby Smart has over his program?
I'm going to go with the institutional control.
Okay.
I'm going to roll with that.
So there's not a lack of
I mean, they're kids, Rick. I mean, you were a college kid. You did dumb stuff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, we all did. I know I did. I was just trying to
hook up.
That, I mean, yeah. So
that's all I was trying to do in college. I was trying to hook up.
But I'm going
to
go with get numbers. I think they'll be fine. They're trying to just get that get the body count up.
Preacher, man, I was just trying to get the numbers up in college, man.
That's what you got to do. That's what's up.
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
We have probably a couple thousand reps in the offense. After a while, it just becomes playing cash, especially if, like, you know, I'm wide open in a certain, you know, route concept that beats a certain coverage. So it's literally just like playing cash. It's a lot of fun.
Austin Hooper talking about his relationship with Matt Ryan. And you know what, Randy? Third-year guy. You've noticed, I've noticed over the years, that the third year for wide receivers and tight ends is a big, big year.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's that pop year. The light fully goes on. The game slows down to the point where it all happens. And the relationship with that player and the quarterback is 3 years in, and it starts to become like telekinesis a little bit. And Hooper's been really impressive this year, dude. I got to give it to him. And he's even the really surprising thing. I'm not surprised that he's having a big game here and there. I'm a little surprised and impressed that he's stringing big games together.
Correct.
Because he's never done that.
No, and I said this, I tweeted out last week, this was by far his best game as far as beating man-to-man coverage. You see a lot of times Hooper, he can find his zone, sit in to catch it, but the way he was beating man-to-man coverage really impressed me, and I thought that was the one thing that he had to work on coming into this year, and you can tell that relationship that him and Matt has grown in the offseason of all that work they put in, so it's been impressive, and I just got to keep going.
Now, Hoop obviously had to do a lot with Ridley and Sanu out for much of the victory over Tampa Bay. They, I believe, practiced a little bit yesterday. The sort of, you know, narrative from Dan Quinn didn't make me feel great about them playing on Monday night. You know, talking about we're going to get them through the week, we're going to see how they progress, and just kind of it's touch and go like that. Are you feeling good about Sanu and or Ridley playing on Monday?
I think one of them is going to miss. Well, I don't know which one, but it just seems like one of them might miss. I hope not, because that just limits more options, and that gives, you know, the Giants more, you know, to double Julio, to do the different things defensively. But, I mean, just look at the chemistry that Ridley has with Matt Ryan as far as on those drag routes, whatever, when it's third down, he knows where to be. Now, can Hardy do all those things? I don't know. Somebody told me that I'm sleeping on Hardy. I mean, I still haven't woke up because I need to see more from this young man.
I'm with you.
He's going to have to step up. Gage is going to have to make some plays. And they're going to have to run the football, I think. But when you're limited in the passing game, you got to put more onus on the run game.
That hurdle move by Russell Gage was pretty sweet last week, wasn't
it? Nice play.
Good athlete.
Nice play.
And we're going to give away some money here in just a moment. But coming up in our next segment, I don't know, about 10 minutes from now, give or take, whenever we want to pop the lights back on here, we will talk Falcons. We're going to take a deep dive into that. We're going to break down how, and I can't wait to get Randy's opinion on how he feels that we are going to defend Super Freaks, Odell Beckham, and Saquon Barkley, and all kinds of other Falcons stuff. We are the home of the Hawks as well, as you know. And tonight we're at Memphis taking on the Grizzlies. Pregame at 7:30 and the tip-off at 8 from FedEx Forum in downtown Memphis. What are you feeling about these Hawks right now?
It's exciting. I mean, they got some young players. I want to see them when they're fully healthy. And I was surprised if Vince Carter was in the starting lineup and played it. But he's Vince Carter. They really don't have anybody better. But you remember our bet, right?
I do.
Okay, just making sure you remember our bet.
Oh, yeah, I have it written down here. Juice box bet.
Okay, just making sure. Right?
We'll get to that in just a second. Yeah. But the guy we're about to talk about is already a millionaire. We can't do that for you, but we can do this.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
check. Preacher Man loves to watch hockey players check each other into the boards. I love to get a check. Randy, I'm sure you do too. Preacher Man, Mark, everybody listening, everybody likes getting
today.
A check. And we got one
today.
It's payday.
Yeah, it's payday.
So we're all getting a check around here. It's payday. C-H-E-C-K. You have until 10:59 to text check to 72881. Text check to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. Randy was talking about Jaren Jackson Jr. And while at Twin Peaks, and fully sober, by the way,
I was.
Randy told me that Jaren Jackson Jr., top five pick to the Grizzlies, was going to average 18-9 here as a rookie. I vehemently disagreed, and a juice box bet was born. Now, we will be tracking Jaren Jackson's numbers all year. And in the opener Wednesday, in a blowout loss to the Pacers, he had 10 points and 5 boards in 25 minutes. I believe had three steals and a block as well. I love this young guy. Don't get me wrong. But I'm taking the under on 18-9. But here we go, Randy.
Can I just pay you now?
No.
I wasn't confident when I said that either.
Now, understand this. I think he's going to up those numbers tonight with no John Collins out there. And so I think he's going to have a nice stat game tonight. It's going to be a tough one for our Hawks to win, frankly. Home opener at FedEx Forum. The Grindhouse are all going to be psyched.
It ain't the Grindhouse.
And we're down John Collins, man.
It ain't the Grindhouse, though. When it was the Grindhouse, when Z-Bo and all of them,
there
that's
you go.
When it was.
Tony Allen?
Yeah, now it's just Memphis. Yeah, it's Memphis.
Now it's just Memphis.
Yeah.
All right, we got to give some credit here in What's Up to David Price. Because What's Up for Red Sox fans is him getting his first win ever in the playoffs.
12 starts.
Unreal. Well, he was unreal last night. 6 innings, 3 hits, no walks, no runs, 9 Ks. That is the David Price that all these teams have been waiting for all these years. Verlander makes 2 mistakes all night. He made a mistake to J.D. Martinez early, dong. He made a mistake to Rafael Devers, 3-run dong. You lose 4-1, and you go bye-bye Sox in the World Series.
Yeah, they were playing with house money right there to put him out there. I mean, they were going to come back to Boston and win it anyway. So, but I got to give David Price credit. He did go out there and get it done. Are you more surprised that he won or Verlander lost it?
That Price won.
That's me. I'm like, because we know what his routine is in the playoffs. But once again, they played with house money. Wasn't no pressure on him, and he's going out there and pitch.
Are we that mad at Verlander for giving up 4 runs to the Red Sox in a long start?
He
was all right.
He's that dude,
but the bats couldn't get it done against Price. The Dodgers may join the Bo Sox in the World Series tonight, 8:39, Fox Sports 1. It'll be Ryu and Miley, and LeBron and the Lakers lose their debut.
Can't shoot.
His debut last night. They can't play defense either, but they're going to be very fun to watch. Kind of like Monday night with our Atlanta Falcons against the New York Giants on Monday Night Football. We break down how our Falcons are going to defend Beckham and Barkley next on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
I think across the board, I will say this. I think across the board, their record is what it is, but they've been in a lot of tight games too. And defensively, I think they've played pretty well. So I think he's playing well also.
All right, that's Matty Ice talking about damn good dog, Alec Ogletree, Mark Owens. Didn't you struggle with the pronunciation of Alec Ogletree?
Both of you. The funny thing is, I just said that to him before you said it. I said, isn't that the name you messed up?
Yeah, Alec Ogletree. Wasn't that what you said? Alec, say it with me. Alec Ogletree. He was a damn good dog. He was a play wrecker for the Dogs.
In a game one.
Is Lick?
That's right.
Oh, is. I never knew that. Never paid attention either.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I thought it was.
Alex?
Yeah.
Alec.
It's Alec.
It's
Alex.
Now you've got me tripping.
It's Alec.
Alec.
It's Alec. Did I say Alex?
Yeah. That's what I was like. I thought it was Alec.
My bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron.
So that was blooper on blooper crime right there.
You know, Alec Ogletree. There it is again. Alec Ogletree at threw his gloves into the crowd. We were sitting down front once. The kid above us dropped it, and I snatched that glove. That is now my official beer drinking tailgate glove.
You didn't give it to the kid?
Wow.
No.
Wow.
Why didn't you give it to the kid?
Are you serious?
Hands,
you took,
baby.
You took that baby's glove.
Yeah, he dropped it.
Wow.
He's dropped it.
How old was the kid?
The kid had it in his hand, and then he Butterfingers let it go.
How old was the kid?
I don't know, 10 or 12.
You couldn't pick it up like, hey, kid, here's the glove.
You have to give that kid the glove.
Well, I've been a fan longer than he has.
Hold on.
I've given more money to Georgia than he has.
Hold on. First of all, okay, that was one of my favorite things, giving kids gloves after the game. Do you actually wear it?
On game day, it's my beer drinking glove.
Are you serious? You wear
it's a little tight.
That's a little scary.
Because it's
that's your grown man wearing another man's gloves.
That glove is, it's so sticky.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You don't need a koozie. You can actually open up your hands, and the can will stick to your palm.
You actually wear the glove, Mark?
I bring it out on special occasions.
So just flip it like this. So Mark stole the glove from
the little kid. No, I didn't know. Exactly.
Yeah, he stole the glove from the little kid to keep the little kid from drinking underage. Is that what you're saying right now? See how I spun that right there?
That was my PSA to the kid, saying, kid, stay on the straight and narrow. Be the best you can be.
You actually wear it?
Yes. I have it. I'll tweet out a picture of it.
Mark and his glove.
He didn't punch the kid and throw him down and steal out of his hand. He dropped it.
Yeah. You're with me and Randy, right? Given the kid the glove, right?
I got kids. Give the kid the glove. Come on now.
Give the kid the glove.
It's all fair game in Georgia
like
football.
Like in Bad News Bears back in the day. Let them play. Mm-hmm. Let them play. Give the kid the glove.
Him in the ear. I was standing below him. Alec threw it above the tunnel.
You know what, Randy? You know what he did? He hip-checked the kid out of the way. Hip-checked the kid across the aisle and pounced on the glove.
I'm
more upset that you wear it than you took that baby's glove, but that's another thing. Okay, he took the glove.
Alec Ogletree's beer-drinking glove.
Let's talk Falcons on the home of the Falcons. You guys crack me up. John Michaels will be back on Monday for a Falcons Monday, and we're going to break – Randy, John and I, we had Arch yesterday. We've been breaking this down every way to Monday. But I can't wait to get your opinion on this. And let's start with Odell Beckham Jr. What are the challenges? Do you see an Alford or a Trufant traveling with him? Or do you see Trufant and Alford kind of maintaining their spots on the field? And how do you see us defending Odell Beckham?
Well, the last couple of weeks when they've played teams with number one, wide receivers, it looked like Alford's been traveling with them.
Yep.
So I'm sure they're going to try to do something like that today. Without all the weapons, I don't know if Evan Ingram's going to play.
It's very much looking like he's going to play. I mean, matter of fact, I'm just about ready to say he'll be there Monday.
If he's there Monday, then he's a different dynamic. He has another dynamic to that offense. But I'm doubling Odell. I'm going to put Alford. I'm going to double him with a safety and just take a chance with everybody else because I think they can compete with everybody else. Now, Evan Ingram's a different story. And then that animal that's in the back for number 26.
We're going to get to him in a minute.
It's a different story in the passing game. But the one thing you got to do for Eli is, because Eli a problem. Eli is a problem. And me, Stan, Northfleet, and Andy Bunker last Sunday on the Way Before Tailgate Show came up with this phrase, say, don't let today be the day. Don't let Monday night be the day that Eli looks like the old Eli. You know what I'm saying? Because he is just not there anymore. It's just like you can tell. We can talk about the interview with Odell and all that, which I still was – way against, but it's Eli, man. And that O-line, I mean, they're just having problems all over the place. So don't let Monday night be the day that they get it all together.
Well, I fear that that's going to happen, Randy. I've been fearing it all week, and I wouldn't be fearing it unless Evan Ingram was playing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If Ingram was out, I would not be fearing a bounce-back game from Eli. I might be fearing 210 yards and a couple of touchdowns, just kind of a normal quarterback game. But with Ingram, Randy, and this, Eli has the potential to have a big game.
Yes.
Like a 300-yard, three-touchdown game. And I know that we've been banging on Eli, and he has looked old and rickety and feeble a lot of times this year. But he's still a future Hall of Famer with the world dumping on him, and he does have a competitive fire that burns inside. Otherwise, he wouldn't have two Super Bowl rings.
Correct.
So we are going to get a full punch from Eli on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know. They've been up and down. Now, can they rally the troops and do all those things? I mean, they got talent, and they got two gifted, special, elite players on their team, and that at any time you get the ball in their hands, they can take over a game. That's how great Odell and Saquon are. Defensively, I've been watching football a long time. I know Jason Peters, and he's a Hall of Fame left tackle. I ain't never seen nobody handle him the way Olivier Vernon handled him last week. I'd never seen anybody handle Jason Peters like that, and he was handling him. And he's back. He's coming off that edge, so Jake's going to have to bring his lunch because Ovi, he's a speed rusher, but his biggest thing is speed to power, and he gets those big tackles on their heels, and he can take advantage of that.
I have good news. And I read this morning, and I'm looking at a headline right now. Olivier Vernon, rib injury uncertain for week 7.
He just got back.
Man, I'm just saying, like, he may play, he may not. Like that,
man, throw some dirt on it and let's go, man. You've been out too long.
Why? We don't want him to play.
No, I'm just saying, because a rib injury. Man, throw some dirt on it, let's
okay.
go.
Okay.
Flat jacket, whatever they call that thing, let's go.
I like it. Although I don't want to see Olivier Vernon. He's a heck of a pass rusher on Monday night. But so that's there. I mean, he may or may not play next to Awek Ogwotwi. Sterling Shepard is no chopped liver either.
No, he's not.
Very good player. He can have that 8 for 90 in a touchdown game. He's kind of their Mohamed Sanu, wouldn't you say? Kind of maybe an under the radar, like the second or third layer guy that can really sting you.
He can make plays. He makes plays, and they want to use him in the slot a little bit more. He's a guy that I think you can single cover. I think Poole can handle him in the slot by himself. The biggest thing is you got to figure out what to do with 13 because I mean he's that guy in the league that can take a slant, Rick, and take it for 80.
Do we have a guy that can run with Odell Beckham?
No.
I mean, Alford is probably the closest. He's the closest, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, like. What's Alford? Maybe a 4.4, 4.5, and Beckham's like a 4.2, 4.3.
I think Alford's 4.3 guy.
Is he really?
Yeah, I think so. I think Alford's somewhere in the 4.3.
Sorry, I'm not trying to sleep on you.
Yeah, he can roll now. Uh-huh. But I mean, running this ain't no race. You know what I'm saying? Like you got to cover him. They line it up at a 4.40. Let's do it. But I mean, you got to cover this guy.
It's going to be fascinating, man. Now let's get to that beast, that freak, that animal. Saquon Barkley, who is virtually impossible to tackle. He can put a foot in the dirt and make you miss. He can run you over. He can jump over you. He can just run by you. He's one of the best running backs I've ever seen, Randy.
He's one of the
best backs I've ever seen in my life. And obviously put on a show against Philadelphia. It was really kind of a one-man band that night for Saquon. Give me the most important player on the Falcon defense when it comes to defending Saquon Barkley.
Ooh, most important player.
Is it Grady Jarrett coming back and being healthy?
I was thinking about Grady. So I'm going to go with the linebacker position. I think Devon Dre, and I'm going to put Duke in there. They got to tackle him. And it's easy for me to say because I ain't got to do it. But, I mean, the way he cuts and can find space to be that big of a running back, I mean, I've never seen it before either. But they got to get their pads on him. We always say that. Put your pads on him. And they got to put their pads on. They got to get him to the ground because, I go back to the Odell thing. He's a guy, Rick, that you give him a swing pass, and he can take it 80. He's just that gifted of a football player. So those linebackers, they're going to have to cover him in space, and they're going to have to get their pads on him in the run game.
I want to have a Saquon Barkley-Barry Sanders conversation with you because they brought it up a little bit, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, last week on Thursday Night Football. And when you – I mean, in terms of – okay, there's a few comparisons that are legit in terms of his ability to do all the stuff that I and you just talked about. But also, there's a lot of – -1, -2, 1, 2, 3, -1, boom, 80 yards.
Yeah.
Like, just like Barry used to.
Who had
And I'm looking here, I thought size-wise they were a little bit more comparable. They're not. Barry Sanders was 5'8", 203.
Yeah, Barry's 5'8", way smaller.
203. Saquon is 4 inches taller at 6 foot.
And about 25 pounds heavier.
Yeah, about 25 to 30 pounds heavier. And does all the not quite as good as Barry Sanders with making people miss.
Breaks,
not quite
breaks,
as good, but in the neighborhood, right?
You look at the lower body, and that's why when you look at the highlights of Barry, and then you look at Saquon, and you look at their lower bodies, and how they're running the football, they look just alike. But I'm not ready to put him in Barry Sanders. I'm not going there. I'm not going to disrespect Barry Sanders like that. But you're absolutely correct. It's a 1 yard gain here. 2 yard gain here, then all of a sudden a 16 yard gain there, and then a -1 yard, and then he can go 50 right after that.
And look, there were a couple times against Philadelphia, he just saw daylight and it was, and he was gone, and nobody could do anything about it. So he's a terror, and Odell Beckham's a terror, and okay. You tell me this, Randy. What are they? 1-4 or 1-5?
They're 1-5.
1-5. Yeah. So they're dead. But how dead are they? Are they dead to the point, Randy, where they're a zombie for a couple of weeks and then they're like, all right, let's start playing football again? Or are they not dead? Or is their record, you know what I'm saying? Like, where's their mindset? Are they like, oh, God, we suck, the season is over, let's just go down to Atlanta and party? Or are they coming down here, like, with pee and vinegar?
Oh, they're coming to win. They're coming to win. And they are in the NFC East right now. And that's probably the worst one of the worst divisions in football right now. So in their minds, they're like, hey, we can still, even though they lost two division games, they're probably thinking to themselves, hey, we can find a way to get string some stuff together.
So as I say Atlanta soccer supporters, I'm talking to me and Randy. I know it's weird, me talking to myself. But join Mike Conte and Jason Longshore for Stoppage Time at Fadeau Irish Pub in Buckhead this Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The Atlanta United radio broadcast team will talk all things Atlanta soccer with special guests, plus cool soccer prize giveaways on site. Stoppage Time will also be live streamed on 92.9 The Game Facebook page. Good stuff right there. All right, we are coming back with Mark Owens, reading between the lines.
So there's one national pundit that gets Tricky Ricky all fired up and in his feelings, and he's at it again.
Mark Owens is about to bring us read between the lines. Now, a very funny thing happened this morning, because Mark Owens, of course, is the Phoenix Suns' biggest fan. He's a super fan. Huge. He is the Spike Lee of the Phoenix Suns.
Won so far away and at every game.
And this morning, he said, man, I can't wait for tonight's Suns game against the Denver Nuggets. And he's asking me about it and stuff, and I'm telling him about the Joker and Gary Harris and all these guys. And then, you know what, M.O.?
Yeah.
I looked at the schedule, and the Nuggets and Suns play tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on League Pass.
Actually, that is what I said. Well, I said tomorrow night, I'm looking forward to it. And you actually corrected me, and you said, no, it's tonight. It is tonight.
Is that how that transaction went?
I'm hand to God, that's the truth.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I was three quarters asleep and barely remember.
Standing in my production room, I said, dude, I'm looking forward to it tomorrow night. And you're like, no, it's tonight. It's tonight. And then Tricky Ricky proceeded to plug his appearance and his shift at NBA TV say, make sure that I watch him break down the game.
I mean, he has to talk about that he's doing NBA TV tonight, of course, but time and everything. You know that.
Now I have a reason to watch him.
But the fact about it is the league pass, you can watch him because you got Xfinity, right?
No, I'm a DirecTV guy.
Okay, never mind me. Because they're giving out the league pass is free for a week.
The free preview is on all platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's DirecTV, it's Comcast, it's all that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but I'm already invested in the Suns app and the Suns league pass. I think I've got everything for the Suns that.
So tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, free preview.
Sure.
I'm just saying, you know what you should do, Mark?
I can't wait.
There's all kinds of college football. DVR the game.
Yeah.
And watch it at your own leisure.
Because it's huge. The Suns and
your squad. One more test before we read between the lines. What is Ayton's first name?
DeAndre.
You
got that right.
Yes, as the biggest fan, nice of job. Course I'm going to get that
what
right.
What is Warren's first name? There are initials involved.
RJ.
Close. We'll work on that.
P.S. TLC.
Okay.
R.E.M. John Freak had a chance to sit down with Derek Shelby to talk about this game and how are you going to prepare for it on a Monday Night Football?
Getting healthy is always the key, especially with how many guys we lost. But, I mean, still, I don't want to linger on it. Injuries, we still got to go out there and execute no matter who's out there.
You're playing Monday night. By the way, Derek Shelby, you like Monday Night Football?
It's whatever. I mean, it's a football game. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is. I mean, you got to go out there and perform.
Building off this win last week, is there a sense that this team can start to turn the momentum around a little?
We just got to take it one game at a time. You can't look ahead because that's when you end up making the mistakes that I spoke on earlier. So one game at a time, executing our defense, and then we'll be good.
Yeah, Eli Manning, obviously a veteran. You faced him before. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been around a long time. A way to rattle his cage and get under his skin and to kind of change things up for you?
Just for most quarterbacks, you just have to affect them. When they're back there on their spot, they're making throws, they all look good. But once you start getting them to move a little bit, they start to feel the pressure. They stop looking at the receiver, start looking at the rush. That's when you're more effective, so that's all we got to do.
Yeah, and one final thing about that, Saquon Barkley. I mean, everybody's seen him. You saw him at Penn State, now you're going to see him in person as a pro. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of guy that can affect the game in a lot of different ways.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's a good receiver, good running back, and we just got to go out there and attack him. Don't make it easy for him.
He said everything right. I mean, they got to get healthy and all these things. And the Monday night thing, it's fun to play on Monday night. The weight sucks. If you're on the road because you're sitting around watching soap operas, they're nothing on the hotel TV. But, I mean, yeah, Monday night's cool and everything. But just to have him back, another body to throw out there, because we've been talking about it a lot, you got guys that are in unfamiliar roles. You got guys playing more than they should play. And they're like, damn, I didn't know I was going to play this much. So, I mean, once that rotation gets back, hopefully Grady's coming back, because I think he is, this defense should be a little bit more, a little bit more competitive, especially up in the middle.
Well, the tone in his voice made it sound like Shelby's going on Monday night.
Yeah.
And we know that, there's still some doubt whether Shelby and Grady play on Monday, but it kind of sounded right there like Shelby's going to be a go. Now, Randy, I knew you were kind of cheap, but, man, that's next level cheap. Because if you're spending all this time in a hotel room, you know that if you just pony up $7.99 or maybe upgrade to $13.99, that there's some good entertainment, movie-wise, adult films, on the on the hotel setup there.
The adult film.
You don't have to watch soap operas, Randy.
That was just so funny. But the adult films in the hotel stink. They're like,
yeah, they're not that great.
They
beat a soap opera, though.
Yeah.
They do.
No, but, I mean.
With a stick.
I'm just joking about the soap opera.
Okay. That was just a joke.
I should have said limited channels.
Pardon me for
limited
taking
channels.
That so literally.
Limited channels. Okay.
Pardon me.
I apologize.
I'm glad you cleared that up, Emma.
And who still pays for the adult channels in the movies?
Who pays?
You mean at hotels?
Yeah.
Don't
you have a phone?
Next question.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you have a phone
and
free internet with each guest?
Next question.
Problem solved. All right, Tricky Ricky, I hate to do this to you on a Friday.
Oh, what do we got here?
Here we go. Your boy, Colin Cowherd.
Why?
Went on a rant yesterday on his little hot take show on FS1.
Yeah, it is a little show.
Calling out our quarterback, Matt Ryan.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Again?
He is not top tier, fanboys. Stop calling him that.
So all these legitimate people voted. Here's their tier one. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, and Matt Ryan. You're telling me Matt Ryan, who I like, is in the same group as Brady and Rodgers. You're out of your gourd. Matt Ryan has been in this league 9 years. I'm just going to take out last year, his best year, when he had almost no injuries, the best running back combo he's ever had, and the best offensive coordinator in football, and a schedule in which his division went into the tank. I'm just going to take out your one great year. And here's Matt Ryan. Passer rating 90.9, which is okay. Touchdown to interception, under 2-1. Not okay. Yards passing for season, about 4,000. Good, not special. Wins and losses, 74-52. Meh. That is not elite. By the way, fanboys in Atlanta, I like him.
Sure doesn't sound like it, asshat. Did he say 74? Come on. Let me have that one. Just let me have that
one. Who's standing to my left?
Oh, for the love of swear words.
I'm sorry.
You can't play that garbage and not expect me to flirt with profanity, okay? But let's move on. Did he say that Matt Ryan is 74? And 52?
He did.
And follow it up with a meh? Are you freaking kidding me? He's 22 games over 500. No, that gets a bing. I cannot stand that guy. I encourage everybody listening to never patronize that bleep hat again because you're wasting your time. That's garbage. Oh, wait, let's tune in and hear him trash John Wall. We talked the other day. If, you know, I'm not going to go there. I don't want to create a meeting and controversy here this late
please
in the
don't.
Week.
Please don't. It's Friday.
You know, Skip Bayless has created an empire on banging on LeBron James.
Yes.
If he did not criticize LeBron James, yes, he would not be on the pulpit that he is.
Correct.
Colin Cowherd is on the pulpit that he is from picking these stupid, asinine fights with good ball players.
Yeah.
He, for some reason, he hates John Wall.
Because
he, no idea why. And for some reason, he hates Matt Ryan. What? And screw you, cow turd, for calling me a Matt Ryan fanboy here in Atlanta, because you're dead wrong.
Well, I mean, you know, I came up with that phrase, the butt hurt.
You didn't dump that, did you?
The butt hurt Julio fanboys, whatever. He has one point. No, Matt Ryan is not on the level of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, but he's a damn good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And for people, and for some reason, he's always getting dumped on by people because he doesn't seem like he's fiery. He's like he's corny.
He's an easy target,
company,
Randy.
Man. He's easy target.
He's an easy target.
He's easy target.
He's in an easy market to target for a national broadcaster who sucks with
Colin, what he does, he's a hot take guy. All right, and he throws it out there, and most of the time he's wrong. But when he's right, he likes to elevate it and show that he's right. But
every squirrel finds a nut.
I mean, I don't really take him serious at all. Whenever his show comes on, I'm always turning.
Again, just stop patronizing the guy because the more you watch, the more money he makes.
Exactly.
Do you want a bleep hat like that making more money?
Why
I don't.
Fanboys in Atlanta. I like
Screw you, cow turd.
You all right now?
And the Clydesdale you rode in on. Or with his bank account, maybe the Ferrari he rode in on.
Yeah, because he's paid now.
I'm sorry for doing that to you, Ricky.
You got me fired up.
But you know what brings you back down to the
What's
happy
that?
Place?
What's that?
It's a Friday.
Uh-oh.
And what do we do on Fridays?
We laugh.
It's your Rick and John, and I'm so sorry. Weekend review.
Check, check, check. Mic check. Yeah. We back, baby.
So, John, you've gone three drives at LSU.
A little more. There we go.
I'm swallowing it as we speak.
If it's out there, I'm eating it.
Drew Rosenhaus, get him. No, get him. It's so wee-wee, dude. Wee-wee-wee-wee.
Ca-caw, ca-caw, the giant Falcons here. Ah, ah, ah.
We're going to be hugged up on each other the whole time. And bah, and bah, and bah.
Alec Ogletui.
John is the king of the morons. But Tampa's last play was a flag football play. All the way, and I screwed it up.
Bill Ryder, author of Astro Ball, The New Way to Win It All. And wait a minute. I'm getting Bill and Ben confused. I am straight tripping out right now. We have Ben Ryder.
So Tampa Bay Bucks, eat that L.
You lost me. You lost me.
A little more. More me.
Alec Ogletui.
Schweinsteiger.
Schweinsteiger. No. Schweinsteiger.
Thank God it's Friday.
Well done, bro. Well done. Who was the Drew Rosenhaus thing? Who sicked some ball player? Man, I can't even remember.
I mean, like, that's my agent right there, man.
No, but some ball player wanted Drew Rosenhaus to fight a fight for him. Preach, man, do you remember
with
that
the Tyreek Hill? Somebody with the beer thing?
Yes, that's what it was. Tyreek Hill, the fan throwing the beer.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's what it was.
Yes. Okay, so quickly, I'm like, get over it. You got a beer thrown on you. What the hell? And John's like, no, you press charge, just throw the guy in jail.
Hell
the guy was banned for life.
Care. He should be. You ain't throwing nothing at me.
He threw a damn beer. He
so
didn't throw
what?
A battery.
Whatever. All right. Whatever. So if I go up there and just throw a punch, I go up there and slap him instead of punching him, it's just a damn slap. No.
I would love to see that.
Whatever.
Bunch of fanboys.
That's all y'all are, butthurt fanboys.
I love it, man. Hey, Steve Merrill of Covers.com is next on the Midday Show with Rick and John, with Randy in for John. We're going to help you with investment decisions in the world of football next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports fans, this is Brian Jordan. Join me.
You're telling me Matt Ryan is in the same group as Brady and Rodgers. You're out of your gourd. That is not elite. By the way, fanboys in Atlanta, I like him.
It's 11 a.m. in the ATL, and you're listening to Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Who continues to bang on those that they quote-unquote like? Why, if you're going to be so hot-takey as Colin Cowherd, why would you soften it up with, I hate him, 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 he sucks, he sucks, he sucks, he sucks, he sucks, but I like him. Why would you do that?
You're convoluting the message,
Cowherd.
We know what happened with the whole John Wall thing, but Preacher Man, do me a favor. Tell Rick how much he's worth.
No, please.
$14 million.
Oh, my God. I'm out. See ya. Randy, have fun with the rest of the show.
Oh, I love that part because I knew that you would that would get you right there. That'd get you going right there. But hey, he makes a lot of money. Somebody got to pay him, right? So I mean, they're paying him to give his hot take.
I was just playing.
He was the last. He was that kid on the playground that was last to get picked. You know that guy. So he has to take it out on athletes because it always seems like it's personal when he's on somebody.
You got that
it
right.
It always seems like it's real personal. Like
you know what great bosses like Terry Fox told me. You can be critical of players, just don't make it personal.
Right.
Some of the best advice I've ever gotten, because I would never do that on NBA TV. We just play it straight, right? Is you know, but on radio, it's more stream of consciousness, more open. You
Correct.
Grip it and rip it.
Right.
And you go for it. And you guys know, and Hugh's always talking about, man, you go in on dudes. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
But I don't get personal.
No, you don't. I've worked with you a lot, listened to you a lot. You don't get personal other than with this guy. And you're divorced from all your Minnesota teams.
Yep.
That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, you know, you're pretty chill.
Thank you for acknowledging my divorce from the Minnesota
team. Yeah, I
mean. Which is legit. It's final.
Just don't come back.
Attorneys have been paid. No, there's no going back. There's no remarriage here. We are married to this guy every Friday at 11 o'clock. We love this dude. He's a human computer. His name is Steve Merrill, Covers.com. Please go to Covers.com and subscribe to his service. He will help you make juice boxes. Okay, Steve Merrill, good morning. Rick Campbell, Randy McMichael here in Atlanta. How you living, homie? Hey, Steve.
Hey, doing well.
Yeah, good morning, man. It's great to have you on. Let's start with the Monday night pressure cooker here. Death game for both teams. Giants in town. You got the Falcons, of course. Which way are you going here? Is this like a focus spot and a good setup for the Falcons or not?
I think there's a couple things that are favorable for Atlanta here. Obviously, their problems this year have been defense, and understandably, they've had a lot of injuries. You can't really fix that. But they're now facing probably one of the weakest offensive teams from the past several seasons in the New York Giants. And then the other benefit they have here is they're back at home. They've been a much better offensive team now for several seasons at home, as we all know. And it's really been night and day this year. Their two road games, they've put up 12 and 17 points in those losses. In their four home games so far this season, they have scored at least 31 points or more in every one of those games. They've averaged 34.5 overall. So I do think this is a good spot for them to get back on track. They're facing a weak offensive opponent. They're back at home where they can probably outscore the Giants.
Steve, the Bengals got little brothered again last week against the Steelers. Now they're going to Arrowhead to face the Chiefs, a team that we know can put up points. But the Bengals can score a little bit also. Is this going to be a case of which defense can get that one stop?
Yeah, I think the other thing, Randy, here is, you know, do the Chiefs have a hangover after that Sunday nighter? Tough loss. They're undefeated on the season. That was the spotlight game for them. You know, they had a lot of energy put into that game, especially being a 43-40 shootout that went back and forth. And now they have to head home on somewhat of a short week after the Sunday nighter and play as a favorite. I think this is a potential flat spot here for Kansas City. A question for me, though, is if Cincinnati can keep up with them offensively. Bengals are averaging 29 points a game this year, but it's a bit phony. They've had as many defensive touchdowns basically as anybody in the league, and I don't think their offense is quite as good as that scoring margin indicates. In fact, if you look at the 6 yards per play they average per game, that's against opponents that allow 5.9. So they've played a pretty weak schedule of defensive teams. Chiefs are not a good defensive team either, though, so this should be another high-scoring game. I think the big question, though, is, you know, can Kansas City rebound after that tough New England loss?
Yeah, and I like you talking about the Cincinnati defensive goodies, because I don't think that that Patrick Mahomes is going to give them the ball, like maybe once, but that's what they do. They prey on you. You give them 2-3 turnovers, and then they can take one or two of those to the house. Steve Merrill hanging out with Rick Hamlin and Randy McMichael here on the home of the Falcons. Sports Radio 92.9, the game. For me, a fascinating game is 1 o'clock on CBS. Pats at Bears. I want you to talk to me as you analyze this, but I want you to focus specifically, Steve, on Mitch Trubisky. Do you think that the young second-year starting quarterback Mitch Trubisky, who's had two amazing weeks in a row, can get it done against a Belichick defense?
I think the real question, once again, is, you know, does New England have a hangover after the game? We just talked about Kansas City having a flat spot. I think a win or a loss, really, it's hard to rebound after a game like that, especially being such a high-scoring shootout. And then making matters worse for New England, this is a non-conference road game. They're off of 3 straight home wins. You know, it was really do or die for them a few weeks ago against Miami Dolphins. We talked about it here on the show. They win that game easy. They catch a fortunate break by catching Indianapolis on the short week that following Thursday night. And then they have the huge Sunday nighter last week against the Chiefs. So they're off of 3 straight home wins, kind of turn their season around. This looks like a real bad scheduling spot here. Obviously, it's tough to go against the Patriots, laying just 2.5. It's kind of a must-win situation, a straight-up win situation. You're trusting the Bears to be able to win this game. But they are playing better football. And for me, it's just more of a play against New England here based on the scheduling letdown spot.
Steve, we got the ultimate offense versus defense game. The Saints going to Baltimore to play the Ravens. I don't think the Ravens have given up a second-half touchdown all season. Can the Ravens find a way to slow down this offense? And we know the Saints' defense has been up and down, but can Flacco capitalize on some of those mistakes?
Here again, I'm going to look at the scheduling situation. I think the real question here is, does that bye week hurt the Saints? Mm-hmm. It's funny because their last game came against the Redskins a week ago on Monday, and I mentioned going into that game that I did not think the Redskins needed the bye in Week 4. They were off to a solid 2-1 start. They just beaten the Packers. Came out, played a really bad game on Monday night, and then they come back this last Sunday, they beat the Panthers. So I've seen that happen over the years where teams that are starting off strong get that early season bye, and it disrupts the momentum. Definitely could be the case here with the Saints. After that poor showing in Week 1 against Tampa, they've gone a perfect 4-0 straight up their last 4 games. They've scored 43 points or more in 2 of their last 3 games, and then boom, they get the bye week all of a sudden in Week 6, which they didn't really need. I wouldn't be surprised to see that offense struggle a little bit out of the gate here. First half under might be worth a look for that reason. It's always dicey playing the under in a Saints game, but if they do come out a little sluggish from the bye, the first half under actually might be the best play in this one.
This guy's wise. Steve Merrill, covers.com. He's on the WadeFord.com hotline with Rick Hamlin, Randy McMichael. We're going to get to college games here in just a moment. Talk to me about Cowboys and Redskins, 425 on CBS.
Huge rivalry here, obviously. Redskins, as I mentioned, have played pretty good football this year, except for that Monday nighter against the Saints. And as I said, I really think some of that was just coming off the bye week. Otherwise, they've been pretty sharp in every game except for that Week 2 loss against the Colts. Meanwhile, Dallas, surprising win last week. I liked Jacksonville in that game. I was shocked how bad the Jags played. 2 weeks in a row, Jacksonville's defense has looked awful against Kansas City and Dallas. They've given up 70 points in those two games. However, in their four home games this year, Jacksonville's been very strong defensively, so maybe they're just not a good road team all of a sudden. I still am not sold on this Dallas offense. Other than the 40 points they put up last week, they had scored 20 points or less in four of their other five games this season. I think it's a regression spot here for Dallas, even being a big rival game. And the Redskins, you know, we don't talk about revenge a lot in football and pro football. We do it in college football. But the Cowboys beat them by 12 and 24-point margins last year. I just have a feeling the Redskins really have this game circled, maybe a little bit more than Dallas does.
Steve, help me with my damn Dolphins, man. I mean, Brock Osweiler, he's back again this week. They were able to win the game last weekend in Chicago. Detroit's coming in town. Do I have the right to have faith in Brock Osweiler this weekend?
It's dicey. And, you know, I hate uncertainty, as you guys know. I always say the one thing you don't have to do is play every game, but they got to put an odds on every game. And this is kind of one of those situations where there's a lot of uncertainty for me at the quarterback position, and it's such a critical factor in handicapping NFL games now. You know, Detroit, obviously, with Stafford, much more sure commodity there at quarterback. I think Detroit overall at 2-3 is pretty much where they should be. They've had some good showings this year. Obviously, that Sunday night win against New England was very impressive. They have won, by the way, four straight against the spread. After failing to cover against the Jets in week one in that blowout loss, they've gone 4-0 against the number the last 4 weeks, but they're just 2-2 straight up. So laying points on the road isn't exactly the best role for them. Meanwhile, Miami bounced back with a better showing last week against Chicago, and they remain at home. This is another team that's been much better at home this year. They're 3-0 straight up at home, just 1-2 on the road.
There might not be more pressure on anybody in football this weekend than Jim Harbaugh as we transition to college here, because Jim Harbaugh is 1-5 against Antonio and Meyer in his 3 years at Michigan. He has to break through against his rivals this year. Noon on Fox, can't wait. Michigan at Michigan State. Who you got, Steve?
Well, the first thing I'll say, Rick, is that my power ratings only favor Michigan by 3.5. So this line at 7 is too high. And as you just pointed out, there's some great technicals indicating Michigan State as well in this game. So I do think the number is too inflated. Also, from a scheduling angle, you do worry a little bit about Michigan. They're coming off that big win against Wisconsin. That was a spotlight game for them. Guess what? They have Penn State on deck. Now, they do have a bye week next week, so I don't think there's too much of a look ahead to Penn State for that reason. And you also would think they wouldn't overlook their in-state rival, especially after losing to them last year as a 13-point home favorite. But with that said, as you mentioned, Michigan State has owned this series. D'Antonio, in general, has been an incredible home dog, 16-4 angle here when facing as a home dog off a win. And I think the line's too high at 7, so I do think there's value with Michigan State once again this season.
Another team coming off a big win. The Oregon Ducks last week found a way to get past Washington, going up to Washington State this week, who I don't think is as good as people think they are. What are the chances that Oregon might get upset up there in Washington State, though?
Yeah, when the season began, I mentioned I thought the Pac-12 was way down this year. I also predicted they would not have a team in the 4-team playoff. When Washington lost to Auburn in week one, it was looking like that was probably going to play out. And now that Washington's lost again and the fact that Auburn's lost three times, the Pac-12 really looks in trouble now to get a representative. These two teams are still kind of alive out there, but I don't think they're going to go anywhere in the postseason. They're both 5-1. One team will have a second loss after this game. Washington State, 42 points a game this season, really explosive offense. And the big question for me is, does Oregon have a hangover after that home dog upset of the Washington Huskies in overtime last week? Looks like a better setup for Washington State this week for that reason.
Steve, one more for you. We got Steve Merrill, covers.com. NC State and Clemson, 3:30 on ESPN. Break it down.
Yeah, huge game in the ACC here. My power ratings actually favor Clemson by 23 points. Mm-hmm. So the opening number of 16.5 earlier this week was definitely too low. And we have seen sharp money push it up to 17.5. So it's now crossed over that key number of 17. Really nothing key now unless it hits 20 or 21. But I do still think the line's a little short. You know, normally you'd say NC State's a live dog here. They've played them within 7 points each of the last two seasons. But I actually think for that reason, I like Clemson more here. Clemson is not going to overlook this game. And the key to handicapping these double-digit spreads, as I always say, is motivation. The fact that Clemson has struggled with them the last two seasons, they know they're for real, and the line is too short. I actually think there's value with Clemson, even as a big number.
Steve, we love you, man. Have a great weekend. Hope your picks and your advice all come up roses, man. And again, Steve Merrill, covers.com. Please go to covers.com and subscribe to his service. Steve, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's the man, and you could be the man if...
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Holiday. You could be the man if you win $1,000 with the word holiday. Text it now to 72881. That's 72881. Not Matt Holiday with two L's, but just holiday, like Christmas or Thanksgiving. H-O-L-I-D-A-Y. You have until 11:59 to text holiday to 72881. That's 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. And Randy.
Yes.
I love how Steve Merrill puts the value on it and talks about line spread value, point spread value. It's just fascinating to me. So saying that Michigan State has point spread value and saying that Clemson right. has point spread value, are you buying what the numbers are selling?
Well, in our pack of picks that's coming up in a little bit, I'll tell you.
I'll find out.
I'll tell you.
That was a great tease by Randy McMichael, because at 11:40, we'll relay John's picks. Randy's in for John today. We'll give you our picks. But next, it is our dog walk. And we're at the halfway point. We are going to grade the dogs, coaching, quarterbacks, DBs, running backs, the whole darn thing, next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. All right, it's the dog walk. Rick Hamlet, Randy McMichael. He's a damn good dog. We got a damn good dog behind the glass as well. And Mark Owens, PB, here as well. We're all here. John Michaels is not. He'll be back on Monday, which will be a Falcons Monday, or a Falconian Monday, as I like to say. Obviously, we're psyched about the game, Falcons and Giants. A lot more about that at the top of the hour. But let's dive into the dogs, Randy, and let's grade the first half of the season. I want to start with our head ball coach, Kirby Smart. So, Randy, what you're like? You're like a keyboardist in a jam band right now. He's like off to the side with his keyboard, and you know, over here he's got a little synthesizer. What are you doing? You look busy over there.
I'm good, man. I was just typing something in.
Okay.
Because the computer's freezing up.
It always sucks when that happens, right? But let's grade these dogs, man. What is your grade for Kirby Smart through the first half of the 2018 season?
I give him a B. B. The team has been up and down. You know, they've just been better than teams that they've beaten, been more talented and everything. But I just haven't seen that dominant performance that that a lot of people expected. I just go out on a limb. I never thought they were the second-best team in the country. I thought it was they had a lot of work to do, but hey, once again, you lost. You got your tail handed to you. Went back to Athens, put your tail between your legs, lick your wounds, get ready.
Who did you think, or who do you think is the second best? You think it's Ohio State?
Yes.
Like, clearly?
Yes.
Now, you know Ohio State's defense kind of sort of sucks.
Yeah, it does, but I still think talent-wise, they're not beating Alabama mm-hmm. talent-wise, and I'll put Clemson right behind them.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm pretty much with that. I grade them a B-. And we're close, and maybe I'm being nitpicky here and overly critical, but I couldn't stand the coaching job on Saturday, Randy. Yes, we were texting about it. Yes. To run it down their throat in the second drive and then stupidly fake the kick. It just was such a bad decision.
Yes.
The play sucked. The decision to run the play sucked. And then you come out in the next drive and you don't run the ball. You get two bad balls from Fromm in three plays and you're out. LSU gets the ball back, and it's 13-0.
Yeah, you got to find
that was terrible.
On the road in a hostile environment, you got to take the points. You got to take the points. And I was surprised, I think, by a lot of people about Kirby doing that, especially on 4th and 9. Is this 4th and 2 or 3, maybe?
Thank you.
4th and 9, I just didn't like, not with the speed of that defense. And they didn't fool anybody. You know what I'm saying? They didn't fool. I almost burnt the fish messing around with Kirby on that play. But, yeah, I mean, it was a bad call. But I think overall the team just hasn't played consistent football.
Kirby, we love you. We're hanging in there with you, but and that's it. Okay, we're done. We're done doing the banging thing here. But I got Kirby at a B minus, Randy at a B. Let's talk quarterback. Grade the quarterbacks, just the collective quarterbackness of Fromm and Fields through the first half.
I'll say another B. I'll say a B. Fromm, he's been up and down as far as his throws down the field. Fields, he's to me, it seems like he's still learning on the job, and they got a certain amount of plays for him in a game. And I heard you. Do you trust him? I heard you saying all that the other day. I disagree with a lot of what you were saying. But at the same time, they probably didn't have the package for him to be in the game. Like, we're down. Could we sit up here and run read option the whole time with him to get ourselves back in the game? Or do we want to throw the football and get back in? So
now, if he had gone with something in the second quarter with Justin Fields.
I thought he was going to come in early.
What's your take on that?
But I agree with you on that part. I thought he should have came in a little
just
earlier.
Just give a spark.
Yeah.
Kirby's always talking about.
I agree.
Randy, did you hear the math that I did on Jake Fromm in the first half against LSU?
Yeah, you told him the drives and the bad balls.
Seven bad passes in six drives.
Well, it was eight, actually, because he missed the touchdown. He missed the touchdown. The first time they got down in the red area, it was a touchdown. Mecole Hardman ran like a Dino route, like a slant go. And he was wide open, and he went the other way. I mean, wide open,
mm-hmm.
and everybody saw it. So, yeah, he had some missed throws, a lot of missed throws.
I have Fromm as a B. And Fields, you know, I mean, he hasn't really done much. Fields has been really good when he's been in there, but this is mostly a Jake Fromm grade. And I grade him a B. Here's why, Randy. He has not brought his best football to the room.
I agree.
Okay, against South Carolina, he's 15 of 18, but one touchdown, one pick. At Missouri, 13 of 23, 260, three touchdowns and one pick. LSU, 16 of 34, two picks, you know, a sub 50% completion percentage. The games where he's really rocked and rolled were Austin Peay, two touchdowns and 75%, Middle Tennessee, three touchdowns, 83%, and the Vandy game, three touchdowns and 74%.
What were his attempts in those wins, those big games you're talking about?
The road games?
Yeah, the wins, the ones you said that he played well in. What were his attempts?
16 attempts against Austin Peay, 12 against Middle Tennessee, and 23 against Vandy.
He needs to be 20 and less, 25 or less. I don't think when he gets over 25, I don't think that's a good sign for Georgia.
It's a great call. Yeah. And we saw the law of diminishing returns in the LSU game when he goes way over and throws 34. In terms of Fromm, you know, you think back to the Tennessee game, and they needed to go with Justin Fields a time or two to give him a spark.
Yeah, yeah.
But that spark should not have been needed against Tennessee. Like, Fromm should have fully handled his business, and he handled his business, but he didn't handle his business in a pretty way.
Right.
It was more of a dirty, ugly, kind of grimy handle your business. But we're nitpicking here, okay? The real problem is the LSU game and all the terrible throws, and that's why I've got Jake Fromm at a B, and Randy has him at a B as well. Wide receivers, Randy, what's your grade?
I'm going to give them an A. I thought coming into this season they were the group that on the offensive side that worried you the most. And these guys are doing a great job when they've gotten the ball in their hands. We know I'm with you. We talk about Mecole Hardman. He needs the ball more. This He's that dynamic of a player. I think that that Riley really has stepped up big time. Leads the team in touchdown catches. Holloman's a good player, too. Almost was going to choke him for dropping that ball early. I heard a name that you said, and I'm with you on this. This kid, where is he? The receiver from Savannah. Robinson.
Demetrius Robertson.
Demetrius Robertson. Thank you. What's the deal? I mean, is he not learning the playbook or something? Because he's a guy that I'm with you. We talked about when they got him, like, this guy, he's that dude.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the one play in the first game, and we haven't seen him since.
To me, he's late to the party.
Yeah.
To me, you got guys on the – and, Randy, take me deep if you want. To me, there are guys that have been there and have been chopping wood and have the sweat what he built up with the program that he doesn't,
right.
And that's why you got guys playing above him. I don't even think it's necessarily a talent thing.
I
think Kirby's being loyal to the guys that have been there.
I don't think it's being loyal, Rick. I think it's more or less he just – maybe he's not picking up the playbook yet.
Hmm.
And I think that is because he's too talented of a player not to be on the football field. And I don't – Kirby's the type of guy that – I mean, to me, he doesn't seem like he has favorites or loyalty to people. Why? You know, I got to play this senior. I can't play this freshman.
Yeah.
No, he's going to play the best player. And right now, to me, it seems like Demetrius is just not in the playbook.
Randy has graded the wide receivers an A. I have as well. And it's not Mecole Hardman's fault that they're not throwing him the ball more. Right. That's not his fault. And you mentioned the drop by Holloman, but the drops have been few and far between.
No, I'm talking when he dropped the ball at the goal line.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
oh, you mean when he was going in and dropped the ball? Yeah. But you know, the drops we lamented with the Falcons last year, I haven't seen that with the Dogs.
It hasn't been a lot of drops.
They've been reliable, so I give them an A as well. Tight end, Randy, I give an incomplete grade.
I'm with you. I said the same thing. Said the exact same thing.
We are virtually synced up. Yes. All right, let's go to the offensive line. Grade them here at the through the first half.
I'll give them a B. I give them a B. I think, you know, when you lose, you know, the one thing they had last year on the offensive line, continuity. They had all the five. Now, you know, you lose Ben Cleveland for a while. Yeah, Cade Mays comes in. He's still a freshman, nasty freshman. Like him a lot, but he's just, you know, he's still growing into it. And with Andrew Thomas being banged up as much as throughout the season, he's our best offensive lineman, and he's been banged up, and they haven't gotten that rhythm. But, I mean, as far as run blocking, they can do it with the best in the country.
How's Wilson been playing?
He's playing pretty good, actually. And he's a big mauler that can get out on the move and do things like that. I think he's been better in pass pro than I expected, and because he's a big kid. But I think he's just going to get better. But I give him a B overall.
Me too. Same grade for me. And I'd give him a higher grade, but they really kind of sort of got dominated by LSU.
Yeah.
And so, you know, getting your lunch handed to you in that game has caused me to drop their grade a little bit. Let's go to the defensive side. We're grading the Dogs here in our dog walk with a damn good dog. A lot of dog going on. Randy McMichael. Grade the D-line here at the first half.
I'm going to see.
And this, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Not enough sacks for me. Not enough pressure on the quarterback. Gave up too much in the run game. I mean, DeAndre Walker, he's a stud. called it coming into the season, this is going to be his breakout year. But somebody else other than him has to get the quarterback on the ground. Got a lot of young guys rotating in there with the veterans. So can it get better? I think it will get better. But right now, I don't think they're playing up to where I expected them to be.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I had them at a B-minus, Randy. And let's move to the linebacker crew. What grade do you have on the LBs
B.
so far?
I'll give them a B. Natrez and Rice, they're playing their butts off. They're bringing what you need at that position, at the inside linebacker position. Just got to get a little bit more consistent in their pass coverage. But I think overall, they're playing well.
You gave them a B?
Yeah.
I give the linebackers an A-minus. And It's semantics, but, DeAndre Walker is listed as a linebacker.
Yes.
But obviously playing on the line a lot. He's been spectacular.
Yes, he has.
And you were right about predicting him to have a breakout year. You hear his name all the time when the other team has the football
challenge
against him. He's been great.
Challenge was acceptance because he got challenged. And then you just saw was it the Missouri game. And ever since then, he's just been dominant.
Really good call. I have a feeling you're going to give our DBs a good grade.
I'm going to give him a B.
Because that's it?
Man, I'm going to give him a B. I mean, DeAndre Baker, he's just doing his thing. And this kid, the young kid, Tyson Campbell, a kid out of Fort Lauderdale, had a real brain fart last week on that. He bit up on the play-action pass, and then, they were able to hit him over the top. But he's been up and down. But
was that Mitchell that hit him down the far sideline early in the game?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's going to be a hell of a corner. But right now, I'm just going to give him a B.
Okay. I give him an A. LeCount, to me, has been terrific.
Another guy who was challenged and is answering the bell.
And then you mentioned DeAndre Baker. I'm not trying to be hot takey, but he strikes me as like top five-ish or top 10-ish in the country.
As far as
at what? The cornerback
oh,
position.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like, I mean,
without
way,
doubt.
Way high up
yeah.
there, like maybe winning awards and that
yeah.
kind of thing. He's been that good. He's been sensational. The only problem I've had with him was dropping the damn football on the pick six against South Carolina.
Exactly.
That's
you
it.
You took away some of your incentives.
Special teams here. Great Roddy and punting and returning and all that.
My guy, Roddy.
Hot
Rod.
It's got to be a good grade here, right?
Oh, A-plus for him. I mean, he's just money.
And Mecole.
On the return game.
Yeah.
Every time he touches the ball, I think he's going to score.
I got an A-plus for special teams
as
well.
It's like every time he touches it, he's going to score. So, I got to give the teams A-plus.
All right, so let's revisit this. Okay, me and Randy virtually the same grades here. Coach.
Never agree.
It's kind of weird. Coach, I gave Kirby a B-minus. You gave him a B. QB, we both gave him a B. Wide receiver, we both gave him an A. Running back, we both gave him an A. Tight end, we both gave him incomplete. O-line, we both gave him a B. D-line, I got B-minus. Randy has C. The linebackers, I go A-minus. Randy goes B. The DBs, Randy went – I didn't write it down. I had an
I said A,
and you had a B.
Yes.
And then special teams, we both had an A+.
Yes.
M.O., damn good dog. Any disagreements here, or are you pretty much vouching for what we did?
I like what you said. I gave him an overall, without getting into details, a B-minus. B-minus overall for the season. They held that number two spot without really playing anybody. But a W is a W is a W is a W. And then after that embarrassing loss to LSU, get it together. Get it together. Come back strong against Florida.
What would be your specific grade on Kirby Smart? I went B-minus. Randy went B.
I would give him a B. A B, and it might be a little bit higher if not for that bonehead call for the Rodrigo fake field goal.
There you go. M-O, PB, me, Randy, we're all hanging out, man. And we are going to deliver our six-pack of picks, and we're going to do it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is our College Football Cheat Sheet. We got a damn good dog ready to make some picks against the spread. Against the spread, ATS against the spread. We'll get John Michael's picks as well. Randy?
Yes, no.
You raised your hand. You have something to say? Yes, Randy, you may talk.
Who's winning?
You are.
All right, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, you have the highest percentage, then John, then me.
Yes.
I don't have the exact numbers. The exact numbers are rather gory for me.
Yes, they are.
Now, I was 4-2 last week.
Yeah, you were.
For what it's worth.
Me and my son were riding around the car when that part came on. I was like, good job, Dad. That felt good for him to say that to me.
Because you're making picks against the spread.
No, because I'm winning.
right. Did you tell him you're making picks on cocktail napkins?
Yeah. You'd be amazed. When
like, Dad, what's a cocktail napkin?
You'd be amazed when I'm sending stuff in to preach, man. I'm like, screenshot this, screenshot that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Samson, beautiful little boy, man. All right, I do want to say this real quick. Falcons fans, we want you to tune into 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light Countdown to kick off. Mike Conte and Hugh Douglas, my homies, are going to preview the Falcons matchup and get you ready for some football with Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. All right, Randy McMichael, Let's get into it. We start with college, and then we go to the NFL. You have the honors, my friend. Yeah. Your first college pick, ATS.
Well, I'm going to go like you guys like to do and take these for sure things. That's how you get your records up. So I took a for sure thing.
There are no sure things.
I'm going on a limb with South Florida, minus 34, over UConn. Yes, that's what you and John do. That's what you and John do.
South Florida and UConn?
Yes, I had to take
that. That is so far off my radar. I can't even make a comment.
I wanted to take a big number like you and John like to do, so that's what I'm doing right there. I'm taking South Florida minus 34 over UConn.
Hilarious. That is hilarious. I have no idea if I like it or not. I really don't. Like, I literally can't break down that game at all. I'm guessing that UConn sucks.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm guessing that South Florida's pretty good.
Yes.
But here's the problem.
Tell me.
They don't play in the Power Five, so they're kind of on the outskirts of my radar.
Okay. Snob.
My first pick, I am a little bit. That is, I'm guilty as charged. I'm going to go with Oregon. And last week, I took them. Who did they play last week, Randy?
Washington.
Help me, too many parties.
Washington.
And they were at home getting points.
Yes.
Totally disagreed with that.
Yes.
Took it, and they won.
Yes.
And this week, they're on the road getting points at Washington State. And I totally disagree with that. To me, this should be Oregon minus three.
Right.
I don't believe that Washington State should be favored in this game. So I will take the Ducks plus three at the Palouse. Sorry, Preacher Man.
I'm 100% with you on that one right there.
Well, hold that thought.
Okay.
Is that one of your picks?
Yes.
All right, hold that thought for just a second.
Wait your turn, Randy.
Let's go.
I'm excited.
He's excited over here.
Johnny Michaels' turn.
Johnny Michaels' first college pick, Preacher Man.
Well, shockingly enough, he is also taking Oregon plus three.
And I gave the John Michaels reaction every time we agree on picks. He throws his arms. He throws his head back. He rolls his eyes. All right, so all three. Randy, tell us why you are on Oregon plus three.
I don't think Washington State's that good. I just put it like that. Sorry, Amy Bible, but, you know, you're
luckily,
school.
My wife is out of state right now.
Okay, that's what I'm like. I'm sorry. I had to say sorry to her. But, no, I don't think Washington State is as good as people think they are, and I think Oregon's going to handle business.
Washington State can throw the heck out of that ball with Gardner Minshew and a bunch of good receivers, but so can Oregon. All right, so that is your second college pick. Mine is LSU minus 6.5 at home against Mississippi State. A few reasons here. First of all, I like the point spread. You know, win by 7 and you win. But it's the LSU at night thing that Georgia did not have to face.
Correct.
Mississippi State now has to face that. And I don't like the way Nick Fitzgerald is playing this year.
They're not playing him right.
At all.
They're not using him right.
Tell me more.
They're not playing him to his strength. He's a running quarterback, okay, that can throw the football. They're trying to make him a passing quarterback that can run the football. Let him do what he does best, and they're not letting him do that.
It's a good call. And even when he runs the ball, Randy, it's like 2 yards, 3 yards. It's not big chunk plays. And so for that reason, I just think and I'm not – Steve Merrill was talking about maybe a letdown. I'm not worried about that. I think LSU has already had their loss. They're focused, and I think they will handle business at home against Mississippi State. Preacher Man, John Michaels' second college pick.
Johnny Michaels is also taking LSU minus 6.5.
How about that? How about that? I would say great minds, but I think that would be giving us too much credit. Your third college football
My
pick.
My third, and I disagree with Steve Merrill. I think Michigan is going to whip up on Michigan State.
Okay, tell me more.
I think that Michigan State is probably, between them and Auburn, the most inconsistently talented team in all of ball. Michigan State coming in, quarterback, veteran guy, got playmakers, can run the football. They've been sticking up the joint.
Yeah.
And I think Jim Harbaugh, I think that Shea Patterson is playing well. They found out what he does best, and they're doing that. You know how nasty that defense is. So I'm taking Michigan minus 7.
I'm not mad at you. I'm staying away from that one because I fear that Michigan is going to do everything that you just said. The numbers, the history says play Michigan State.
Yes.
But I just got a different feeling about Michigan this year. I am taking Illinois.
Really?
Yes, the Illini, plus 25. You know where they are?
Where are they playing?
Camp Randall.
Whoa, that's not a bad one right there.
Camp Randall.
It's not a bad one.
Do you think Wisconsin's 25 points better than anybody?
I think they're better than Illinois, yeah.
Illinois can score some points this year.
They're still one of the worst teams in power football.
But Illinois.
You see what that job is doing to Lovie? Have you seen Lovie looking like a black Santa Claus? I mean,
I have not. But yes. I do know that Illinois had a second half lead against Penn State. Okay. I'm just saying, and then they got trucked, but they had a second half lead against Penn State because they can score a little bit. Their offense has a pulse. Wisconsin's defense has been gutted. Anyway, I'm taking it. And by the way, Preacher Man, there's a little bit of like rivalry shade in this pick as well, going against the Badgers. But I'll take the Illini plus 25.
I like that one. I like it.
What is All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Johnny Michaels is going to take Ohio State minus 12.
You know what? I like that because I thought that they should be favored by more than 12 against at Purdue. Like, I feel like Purdue's getting a little bit too much credit with that point spread.
Have you seen, like, the commercials leading up to this game? Like,
yeah.
It's like a big, big
no
game.
Question.
I'm like, hold
they're overselling.
I'm like, hold
that.
On.
Yeah.
They're going to Purdue.
Yeah, Purdue.
Come on, man.
not Happy Valley. Right? With a whiteout.
Yeah,
they're going
to
Purdue.
Yeah, they're trying to sell it. They're selling it, too.
All right, Randy, you have the honors. First NFL pick
our
six-pack.
All right, well, I'm going with a couple former teams here. I'm taking the L.A. Rams minus 9 over the 49ers.
Preacher man, shocking.
What? They've been getting points. Right. I know.
We love giving you crap about always going with your former teams. I'm too immersed in the joke. What pick was that?
Rams minus 9.
At San Fran.
Yes.
We'll see how that goes. I'm taking the Eagles minus 4.5 at home against the Carolina Panthers. I think the Eagles had that, all right, enough, let's play ball. And they hit it and they stuck it last week against New York. They're at home. I'm not like pining for a Carolina loss. It would obviously help us. This is just me analyzing a game. I think Philadelphia is better than Carolina.
Yes.
The home field advantage will propel them to cover the 4.5. Preacher man, John Michael's first NFL pick.
He is taking Miami plus 3.
Detroit. I like that one because why should Detroit be a 3-point favorite on the road against anybody?
That's why I was talking to Steve about that. Like, really? Are you serious? They're outside the dome? Yeah.
That's a good play by John. Your second NFL pick.
I am also taking my damn Dolphins plus 3.
plus so 3. Disrespectful, right?
I love them, but damn Dolphins. Plus 3 over the line, just for everything you said. Who the hell are the Lions becoming somebody's house favorite?
Quick thought on Kenyon Drake. Fumble at the goal line.
Hey, man, get the damn ball to Frank Gore. Frank was rolling the whole day. But I felt bad for the kid, though. I did because I've had teammates in that position, and that has happened to him, and you're over there patting him on the shoulder. But in your back of your mind, I can't believe you fumbled that damn ball.
So when everybody in the world is banging on a team, that's usually a good time to bet on that team or pick them. And I think you know where I'm going here with Jacksonville. I will take them minus 4.5 at home against Houston. Wow. They're a very good home team this year and a terrible road team this year. I think Jax is going to take care of business against an offense that is run into the ground by Butch and O'Brien. John, second pick, Preacher Man.
Patriots minus 3.
He's got the Pats minus 3 at Chicago. Your third pick, Randy.
Cowboys plus 1.5 over the Redskins.
Coin flip game. Yeah. I am taking, with my second NFL pick, the over in the Falcons-Giants game. I think Evan Ingram coming back is going to get that Giants offense on track, and I will take over 54 on Monday Night Football. Preacher Man, what is John's final NFL pick?
Chiefs minus 5.5.
He's got the Chiefs minus 5.5 at home against Cincinnati in the Sunday Night Football game. You're welcome, I hope. That is our six-pack of picks with Randy Mack in for John Michaels. We dive into Falcons and Giants as we go around the 404 next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Dukes and Bell, afternoons 2 till 7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.